Whenever there was a celebration in Scripture, what showed up? The wine showed up. Let's not go too far. Let's talk about communion. It's right there. So for now, wine is a symbol. You understand. Wine has always been intended to be a symbol. And long before wine became a fermented drink to make it crazy, it was a social event that took place. Wine was not strong liquor all the time. It was just a way to share the bounty that God gave. Okay, and for everything that God has, man has a way of making it all crazy. We have a way to do that. I'll include myself there. Wine was a symbol of God's presence. That's what it was. And tell me if not, in the newness of creation, what was there? What was there? This is God's original plan. Remember, He planned it all new. This was the plan. Creation, my children, and Emmanuel. What does that mean? God with us. That's what He wanted. He wanted to be there with them. Just like you want to be with your children or with your friends or with the people you love the most, there with them. And sure enough, in Scripture you find out that there He was. In fact, even right when they fell, they were used to hearing His voice calling Him. He walked and talked, just like the song says, to walk and talk. I come to the garden alone. It's like an Eden song. He created it all. Every day, new. Think about that. That's why I'm using the expression wine here. Because wine was fresh in those days. And God wanted His children to taste and see that God is good every day. Fresh from His hands. The experience of God, the God encounter, was not something you did every seventh day. It wasn't something you did on Sabbath and then on Wednesdays. It was an everyday event with your Creator. But something went terribly wrong. You know the story, chapter 3 of Genesis, the fall of man. And whether you look at this, as most people do in chapter 3, people call this the curse. It's like if God cursed humanity. I want to go a little differently. I believe that chapter 3 is not prescriptive. Rather, it is descriptive. In other words, He was telling Adam and Eve, oh, children, I didn't want this to be. But the wages, this is what? This is your pay now. This is what you picked. And He went through the litany, and He ends chapter 3 by telling the immortal words, and you will return to what? Dust from where you came. That's not a curse. I can imagine the father must have been weeping with his children. Look what you chose. It's like holding a $20 bill. If I had money, I have nothing but pesos in my wallet right now. Otherwise, I'd do this. And you put, you know, the guessing game. You know, you put something in a hand and say, pick it. Pick it. And you either pick the money or you pick a scorpion. I don't know what's in this hand. You pick one or the other, but God sort of hedges and he says, here, this is what I wanted you to have. Look at what you, this is what you traded it for. It's like, let's make a deal, in a sense. This is what I wanted you to have. I prepared it for you. I prepared the house for you. I prepared the room for you. I prepared it all for you. And you chose to sleep in your car, or you chose to sleep on the gutter. No. I gave you life, you chose death. Everything went terribly wrong. Terribly. It was marred, it was troubled, it was not the ideal. Life, that was creation. Creation was marred. It would give thorns and thistles now, not just beauty. Now it would hurt occasionally. And I don't believe roses at one time had thorns on them. Well, what a cruel thing to do. Most beautiful flower, ouch, when you pick it. I think they were just the most beautiful thing without thorns. I don't know about the spider thing. I don't know how that showed up. But they must have had some use, and they must have been kind of fun. You know, some kids don't fear. They just let them crawl all over the big tarantulas. There's a song back in the 70s. I don't like spiders and snakes. That's me. Don't like them. Something went terribly wrong with creation. Something went terribly wrong with life. Why? Well, he pronounced the sentence. Why? Because that's what the wages of sin, Romans 6:23 says, what is what? Is death. That's what it was. That's what went wrong. Wages of sin is death. In fact, it was so wrong that not only was death death, but Proverbs 14:12 says that there are ways that appear that they are life. We're so messed up, we can't even distinguish death from life. So we go off and chase death, thinking it's life. That's how marred it became. Creation marred, creation destroyed, life destroyed. And how about the wine? How about the presence? How about the daily encounter with the Creator? Romans 1:25 tells us that we exchanged that too. We made a trade. We traded in the Creator for the created. We started worshiping the creation and not the one who made creation. Everything went whack. I'm not sure that's a theological term, but I think you understand. It just went whack. In fact, I think it was Jesus who said, when using the expression wine, you don't pour new wine in old wineskins, because it just splits open the wineskin and it spills, and that's what happened. That wineskin was humanity, what they chose, and God wanted to pour good wine in there, and it just split and splattered everywhere. That was not His intent. That's not what He wanted for us. He wanted what was best, and we chose what was worst, thinking that it was best. And we traded everything else in. When we were kids, my mom used to pack lunches for us, and we hated it at the time. Because I told you, we were not just poor. We were worse than poor. We were pua. That's a Hebrew word, pua. Just dirt poor. But one thing we had was food. And my mom, I remember, she used to wrap up some burritos for us in tin foil and put it in a brown paper bag. Three or four burritos. Well, we had burritos all the time. At school, kids would barter for those burritos. That was like gold, we discovered. And we could get like three or four sandwiches for one burrito. Oh, we'd get all sorts of candies and stuff. Yeah, look, extra crispy chimichanga or something. It was bartering. They'd get the raw end. They'd get the raw end of the deal every time, because it's like people who have lots of money. They don't. We had burritos. That's like money back in those days, because there were no Taco Bells back in those days. No Del Tacos, nothing. That was Del Taco in my house. That's what it was. Traded it in, not good choices. The plan was God's. The problem was us. But there is a solution. Plan number two. And that's where I'm taking you, because ultimately, this is about something new. Remember? It's a new thing. It's what it is. God does the unthinkable to remedy our problem. He didn't create it. We created it. And let's not be so hard on Adam and Eve. We created our own. The new plan. Oh, here it goes. And the new plan is a two-part thing. Two-part thing. Because creation, remember we started creation? Well, what does he say? Any good Adventist knows Isaiah 65 and 66. Behold, what does he say? A new heaven and a new earth, and all things that are old will be forgotten. New, there it is. Yeah, I built it new. You came in and destroyed. I did tell you I had three brothers, right? There were four of us. Back in those days in Redlands, California, apparently people didn't like to rent to moms who had four boys. They'd just as well rent to a pack of wolves. Because boys are boys. They're not girls. Girls are even dainty. Guys, they're little animals. They're like, and there were four of us. And it was not pretty. When we came into a house, we marked our territory. It was just the way it was. And when we moved out, people knew that the little Escalantes lived there. You know, after my mom fixed up the house with the tin foil on the windows to keep the heat out and hang the sheets on the windows for some privacy so it looked match with our sheets covering the sofas that we got at the Dorcas. You know, the little touches of home. Then we took over. And every intent she had to keep the house in order was messed up by the four little urchins that ran around the house. We just messed it all up. Messed it all up. All new. God says, behold, everything, I make it new. You messed it up. I'm going to make it new. I'm not just going to cover up the old. I'm just going to make it new. Make it new, because that's what I'm into. New stuff. Revelation 21, verse 1, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, and it goes on to describe the hope of newness again, because that's God's plan. How about life? How does he make that new? 2 Corinthians 5:17. He who is in Christ Jesus, what? He is a new creation. That's the promise. He didn't say sort of. I'm not going to reshape you. I'm going to make you new. He told Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need to be born anew in some translations. There's the word. God says it's not a matter of covering it up. It's not a matter of putting something over and over and over until it almost looks new. No, he says you are going to be new. I love Ephesians 2:10 because this is where he describes. After he says that we're saved by grace, verse 10, he says, you were created for what? God created you for what? For good works. That's what's best for you. The world and sin is convinced us that that is best for us. But God says, you know what? No, I created you for what's best. My owner's manual says that if you do these things, that's what's best for you. I created you for good works. It is better to love than to hate. It is better to share than to hoard. It is better to give than to receive. All those things that seem backwards to us is what's better for us. It's better to eat healthy than not to eat healthy. It's better to forgive than to hold grudges. It is better. It is better. Life is better. But somehow we keep going this way. God says, you know what? The day will come and I'll just make you new. I'll just make you new. Just let me keep working on you. And how about the wine? How about the wine? Where's the wine in all this? Are they recording this? Okay. I just don't want that to show up and go viral on YouTube. Where's the wine, Pastor Escalante's? Revelation 19. I love Revelation 19 because it's sort of a mirror to Matthew 20:26. Because in Revelation 19, it talks about what? Something that we all like, at least most of us like. I like parties. Do you like parties? When I was single, I didn't like weddings that much. Towards the end of our dating, my wife started convincing me that weddings weren't so bad. So I started going to more and more of those. Here in chapter 19, it says, blessed is he who is what? Invited to what? To the wedding feast of the Lamb. Because at the wedding feast, go back to Cana. What's at the wedding feast? What is there? What? Comes the new wine. In fact, did you go back to Matthew 26 when Christ had the last communion service with the last supper, what we call, with his disciples? He says, I will not drink this again. What was he talking about? The wine. Until what? Until the kingdom, which is a reference to the wedding feast, which is a wedding of the Lamb with the church. That's us. That's our wedding day. In a spiritual sense, that's our wedding day. Where his hope becomes reality, God says their wine will be flowing. Because now, if you read chapter 21, now my place, my tabernacle is with you. My living place is with you. And you will be my people and I will be your God, which is what he hoped to do at the very beginning in his original plan that we messed up in the middle, that he promises to make again. I will make it new, a new heaven, a new life, a new promise, a new presence. You know what? I love good news. And that's good news. Because our lives, oftentimes we forget that in spite of the beauty, there's a lot of good things here. Boys, children, that's a joy. Surrounded by people who love us and who care about us, that's a joy. But this is not the end of the story. It gets much better than this. And we forget that what we have is better than the marred stuff we have right now. We do the best we can, just like we put up the sheets on the window and the foil on the window to keep the heat out, just as well as we were convinced that we grew up in the Depression. That's what my mom told us, that I grew up in the Depression. Well, I knew in history books the Depression was back in the 30s. Well, no, well, she was trying to convince us there wasn't that much because we were living in the Depression. Moms are smart. Won't get into that. God said, this is the promise in Revelation 3. He says, buy gold for me so you can really find out what it means to be rich. Zechariah, I love the Zechariah chapter 3, the whole Joshua scene. Take off the filthy rags, give them priestly robes. You're learning about that this morning during Sabbath school. We are royal priesthood. That's what God, that's the new. Take off the filthy rags, which is your righteousness. Put on my priestly robe. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, I am the wine, I am the presence, I am the initiator, I am the creator. Those who hope in the Lord, I close with this verse. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. The bride and the Spirit say, come. That's the invitation today. Because all this is God's, this is a God thing. Now we can choose to live in the patched up world that we have right now. Or we can live in the reality of what God has in store for us, knowing that we're just a passing through. God now says, okay, it's your choice. Remember I mentioned earlier, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19, I have placed before you two options, life and death. But I love this expression. God shows his hand. He says, choose life. Choose life. It's like holding the hand. God doesn't say you got a 50-50 chance. God says, choose this one. This is the one. Choose this one. No, don't choose that one. Now, some of us just jump and grab the other hand. So no, let go. Choose this one. That's God. He will make all things new and he will begin with you. So the question, will you accept it? Will you accept the invitation to come? That's Revelation. Come. The bride and the groom say, come. He who thirsts, come and drink freely from the water of life. What will we do with this, Jesus, I ask? Will you settle? Or will you hang and cling on to the promises of God that say, you know what? Life begins now. Taste and see that God is good. May the Lord bless his holy word.